الحمد لله رب العالمين، له النعمة وله الفضل وله الثناء الحسن، صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. والله أسأل أن يوفقنا جميعا لما يحبه ويرضاه. أما بعد، فكنا قد تكلمنا أمس، أو آخر ما تكلمنا عنه أمس، أن الله تبارك وتعالى لا يعترض عليه سبحانه، وأنه يملك كل شيء ويفعل في ملكه ما يشاء. The last thing we talked about yesterday is that that it is prohibited to object to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah owns everything. He owns us and what we own. And he does whatever He wills in His dominion. ولذلك فإن الله تبارك وتعالى يحكم بما يشاء ولا يعترض عليه. And this is why Allah تبارك وتعالى judges matters as He willed سبحانه وتعالى, without anyone having the authority to object to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah يجعل ما يشاء حلالا ويجعل ما يشاء حراما ولا يعترض عليه في ذلك. Allah makes whatever He willed halal, whatever He willed haram, and one is prohibited from objecting to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. ولا يجوز أن يقاس الخالق على المخلوق. It is not permissible, neither intellectually nor religiously, to draw similarity between the Creator and the creatures. نحن لنا آمر وناهي وهو الله. There is someone who ordered us and forbade us, who ordered us to do certain things and forbade us from doing certain things. And this one is Allah تبارك وتعالى. أما الله فليس له آمر ولا ناه. As for Allah, no one orders Him and no one forbids Him. نحن لا نملك شيئا ملكا حقيقيا. أما الله فهو المالك الحقيقي لكل شيء. We do not own anything in reality. We own only what Allah enables us to own. And Allah is the real owner of everything. نحن علمنا قاصر على بعض الأشياء والله عالم بكل شيء. We know only certain things. Allah knows everything. نحن تفوتنا الحكمة في يعني نحن نفعل أشياء كثيرة لغير حكمة. أما الله تبارك وتعالى فكل ما يفعله عز وجل لحكمة. We do many things without any unwisely. Allah تبارك وتعالى, whatever Allah does, He سبحانه وتعالى does it wisely, for wisdom. فكيف بعد ذلك يقاس الخالق على المخلوق؟ كيف يحكم على الخالق؟ كيف يحكم بعض الناس على الخالق بما يحكمون به على المخلوق؟ So after all of this, how would one dare to draw similarity between the creator and the creation? How would one dare to judge the doings of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala as one judges the doings of the creatures? This is not permissible. نحن علينا أن نسلم لله تبارك وتعالى بعدم الاعتراض عليه. We have to submit to Allah تبارك وتعالى by not objecting to Him سبحانه وتعالى. كما ذكرنا قبل سواء عرفنا الحكمة من حكم الله أو لم نعرف علينا التسليم لذلك. As we mentioned before, whether we know the wisdom of the religious judgment or we do not know the wisdom of this judgment, we have to go according to it. الإنسان إذا ذبح شاة بسكين من حديد صح الذبح. إذا ذبح شاة بسكين من حجر صح الذبح وتؤكل. إذا ذبح شاة بسكين من عظم لا يصح الذبح ولا تؤكل. هذا له حد وهذا له حد. هذا يذبح وهذا يذبح. لماذا يحل هذا ولا يحل هذا؟ عرفنا أو لم نعرف علينا الالتزام بشرع الله تبارك وتعالى. If one slaughters a sheep with a knife, the ordinary knife, this makes it, if a Muslim, for example, slaughters a sheep with the ordinary knife, this makes it edible. Now, if one slaughters this sheep or the sheep with a knife made of stone, this makes it edible. If slaughters it with a knife made of bone, it does not make it edible. Why? Well, this is sharp and this is sharp. This kills and this kills. This cuts and this cuts. This one cuts and this one cuts. Why is this? Why does this act make the slaughtered sheep edible and the other act does not make it edible? Whether we know the wisdom behind that or we don't know it, we have to adhere to the rules of the religion and believe in them. الله تعالى كما قلنا في الحديث لو عذب أهل أرضه وسماواته لعذبهم وهو غير ظالم لهم. As it is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, if Allah tortures the inhabitants of the earth and the sky, Allah wouldn't be unjust by that. As it is mentioned by the hadith of the Prophet. صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذه الشاة التي نذبحها أليس تتعذب عند الذبح؟ أليس تتألم؟ تتألم، ومع ذلك لا يحرم فعل هذا. من يخلق فيها الألم؟ الله. هل يقال الله ظالم لأنه يخلق الألم في هذه الشاة؟ لا، مع أن الشاة ما حصل منها ذنب بالمرة. When we slaughter a sheep, this sheep feels pain. Who creates this pain in this sheep? Allah تبارك وتعالى. Do we say that Allah is unjust by doing that? No. Although this sheep did not commit any sin. الولد الصغير الذي بعد ابن سنة أو سنتين أو شهر أو شهرين، أليس يتألم؟ يتألم. من يخلق فيه هذا الألم؟ الله. هل يقال إن الله ظالم لأنه يخلق الألم في هذا الولد الطفل الذي ما حصل منه معصية بعد؟ لا، لأن الله يفعل في ملكه ما يشاء. وكذلك إذا عذب العاصي لا يكون ظالما. أليس الله هو الذي خلق هذا الطفل الصغير؟ بلى. أليس الله هو الذي شاء له أن يتألم؟ بلى. هل يكون ظالما بذلك؟ لا، والله خلق العاصي وشاء له أن يعصي ويعذبه في الآخرة على معصيته، ولا يكون ظالما بذلك. The little child that is one month old, 2 months old, 1 year old, 2 years old, feels pain. And Allah is the one who creates pain in this child. And despite that, we do not say about Allah that He is unjust. This child did not commit any sin yet. And still, by him feeling pain and by Allah creating pain in him, we do not say that Allah is unjust. Likewise, Allah created the sinful person, He willed for him to commit these sins, and Allah tortures him for the sins that he commits with his will. The slave does the sins willingly. And Allah is not unjust for doing that. لِأَنَّ اللَّهِ يَمْلِكُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَيَفْعَلُ فِي مِلْكِهِ مَا يَشَاءُ. Because Allah Ta'ala owns everything and He does in His dominion whatever He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. كما قال ربنا لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. Just as Allah said in Al-Quran, Allah is not questioned about what He does, but the slaves are questioned, that is, about what they do. قال المؤلف رحمه الله وفي دعاء الأحياء وصدقاتهم منفعة للأموات. The author said, in the supplication and charities of the living, there is a benefit for the dead. وهذا أمر اتفق عليه أهل السنة كما ذكر الطحاوي. This is something that all Ahlul Sunnah agreed upon it, just as الطحاوي mentioned. Ahlul Sunnah قالوا استغفار الحي للميت ينفع الميت. Ahlul Sunnah said, if the alive makes istighfar, asks forgiveness for the dead person, this benefits the dead person. وقالوا أي أهل السنة إذا قرأ الحي القرآن للميت عند قبره كذلك ينتفع هذا الميت. أهل السنة also said, if the alive person recites Al-Quran next to the grave of a dead person, this dead person benefits from this recitation. وكلكم يعلم حديث الثلاثة الذين انطبق عليهم فم الغار. All of you know the hadith of the three people who entered the cave and the big stone blocked the entrance of the cave after they were inside. لحظة ليس هذا. No, I don't mean this hadith. This is for something else. كلكم يعلم حديث العسيب الرطب الذي وضعه النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام عند قبر على قبرين كان صاحباهما يعذبان. All of you know the hadith. Sorry, I should be all off. I got distracted. I meant another hadith. All of you know the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام when he passed by two graves and he said that the two people buried in these two graves are getting tortured, and then he took a certain green branch and he split it in two and he stuck. He inserted one on this grave and another one on the other grave. قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لعله يخفف عنهما أي بتسبيح هذين الغصنين ما داما رطبين. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, I hope that the torture will be, that they will get some relief because of التسبيح that these two branches are going to do as long as they are green. هذا الحديث صحيح متفق على صحته رواه البخاري لا خلاف على صحته بين المحدثين. There is no disagreement among the scholars of hadith that this hadith is صحيح. It is narrated by al-Bukhari and others. إذا كان الميت ينتفع بتسبيح الغصنين فكيف بقراءة القرآن من الرجل المسلم. إذا كان ينتفع بتسبيح الغصن الذي لا روح فيه كيف من المسلم الذي له شأن عظيم عند الله وكيف بقراءة القرآن الذي هو أفضل الذكر. If the dead person benefits from the Muslim dead person benefits from a tasbih that is done by the branch, so how about the recitation of Al-Quran which is done by a Muslim next to the grave? More so, the Muslim, the dead Muslim would benefit from that. لذلك قال النووي استحب العلماء قراءة القرآن عند قبر الميت المسلم أخذا من هذا الحديث. النووي said that the scholars of Islam mentioned that the scholars of Islam relied on this hadith and they said that it is a good thing to recite Al-Quran next to the grave of the dead Muslim. أما إذا قرأ الإنسان القرآن بعيدا عن القبر وكانت نيته عند القراءة أن يكون الثواب لهذا الميت المسلم فهل يصل هذا الثواب إلى الميت أو لا؟ هذا شيء اختلف فيه العلماء. Now, if the one is away from the grave and one recites Al-Quran with the intention that a dead Muslim would get the reward, does this reward reach the dead person or not? There is difference in opinions among the scholars about this issue. الإمام الشافعي رضي الله عنه يقول لا يصل. الإمام الشافعي said, just by doing that, the reward does not reach the dead person. بعض الأئمة الآخرين كالإمام أحمد قال يصل. Some other scholars like Al-Imam Ahmad said that the reward reaches the dead person. فهناك خلاف بينهم في هذا. There is difference in opinions among them about this issue. لذلك قال العلماء إذا أراد الإنسان إذا قرأ الإنسان القرآن ومراده أن يصل الثواب للميت وهو بعيد فليدعو بعد القراءة وليقول اللهم أوصل ثواب ما قرأت إلى فلان فإنه عند ذلك ينتفع بإذن الله من قراءته. This is why the scholar, بلا خلاف, في هذه الحال بلا خلاف. This is why the scholars of Islam said, if you recite Al-Quran away from the grave of a dead person and you want for this dead person to benefit from your recitation, so after you recite Al-Quran, make dua, make supplication and say, O Allah, give the reward of this recitation to so and so, to the dead Muslim so and so. In this way, the dead person will benefit insha'Allah. And this is by consensus. There is no difference in opinions about this matter. نعم الوهابية أنكروا وصول الثواب حتى لو قال الإنسان اللهم أوصل ثواب ما قرأت إلى فلان. لكن هؤلاء شذاذ لا عبرة بهم, لا عبرة بكلامهم. Yes, the Wahhabis denied that. And they said, even if they said, if you recite Al-Quran away from the grave or next to the grave, if you say, oh Allah, make this reward reach the dead person, or you don't say it, the Wahhabis said that the dead person does not benefit from this recitation. You know that the Wahhabis are a perverted faction and no attention is given to their saying, to their deviation. الإمام الشافعي ثبت عنه أنه قال لو قرأ الإنسان القرآن كله عند قبر الميت لكان أحسن. الإمام الشافعي said, if the person recites the whole Quran next to the grave of the dead person, this would be better. That is better than reciting one surah or few verses or the like. وورد عن عبد الله بن عمر عن عبد الله بن عمرو أنه أوصى إذا مات ثم دفن أن يذبح جزور جمل ويوزع لحمه يتصدق بلحمه وأن يقرأ عند قبره بخواتيم سورة البقرة. It is narrated, Al-Bayhaqi narrated from one of the companions, Abdullah ibn Amr, that he made a will. He said, when I die, after dying, after you bury me, slaughter a camel, distribute its meat in charity, and recite next to my grave the ending verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. وكانت عادة الأنصار إذا دفنوا الميت أن يقرأوا له القرآن عند قبره كما روى ذلك الخلال. It was also the habit of Al-Ansar, if they bury a person, to recite Al-Quran for him, as it is narrated by Al-Khalal. Wal-Khalal Hanbali, and this person, this scholar of hadith, Al-Khalal, is among the followers of Al-Imam Ahmad. والوهابية يدعون أنهم حنابلة. And the Wahhabis claim to be followers of Ahmad. لكن هم في واد وأحمد في واد. But they took a way and Ahmad took another way. They took a different way than the way of Al-Imam Ahmad. بل لو كان أحمد حيا لضللوه. Moreover, had Ahmad been alive, they would have judged him by being astray, going astray. Ahmad, مرةً سأله إنسان ماذا تقول كان في المقبرة فقال له إنسان ماذا تقول في قراءة القرآن عند القبر. At one point of time, Al-Imam Ahmad was in the graveyard. And someone asked him, what do you say about reciting Al-Quran next to the grave of the dead person? Al-Imam Ahmad أجابه هذا شيء ما ورد. لا تفعل. Al-Imam Ahmad told him, this was not narrated. That is from the Prophet or the companions, so do not do it. كان معه واحد آخر من علماء الحديث. With him was another scholar of hadith. قال لأحمد ماذا تقول في فلان؟ فلان عندك ثقة أو لا؟ He asked him, what do you say about so and so? Do you judge him as a trustworthy person or not? أحمد قال ثقة. Imam Ahmad answered by saying he is trustworthy. قال له صاحبه هو هذا حدثني عن فلان عن فلان عن فلان ذكر له الإسناد إلى هذا الصحابي الذي أوصى أن يقرأ القرآن عند قبره. He told him, this person that you judge as trustworthy told me that so and so told him, that so and so told him, and so on, until reaching the companion who asked them to recite Al-Quran next to his grave after burying him. لما سمع أحمد هذا قال إلحق قال لواحد معه إلحق الرجل قل له يقرأ عند القبر. When he heard that, he told someone with him, go after the man and tell him Ahmad tells you recite Al-Quran next to the grave. السلف كلهم على هذا كانوا وهذا ما يدل عليه حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is what the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم this is what is taken from the hadith of the Prophet. This is what is implied by the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And this is what as-salaf done. The companions, as-sahaba, wa-tabi'un, wa-atba'u al-tabi'in. The companions, the followers, and the followers of the followers. بعد هذا يتبين زيادة تبين أن دعوة الوهابية أنهم سلفية هو كذب لخداع الناس. After this, it would be more clear that when the Wahhabis say about themselves that they follow a Salaf, this is that they are Salafiyya, that is, they follow a Salaf. This is only to trick the people. وأنهم في الحقيقة ضد السلف. In reality, they are against a Salaf. They do not follow a Salaf. على زعمهم الشافعي وأبو حنيفة وأحمد ومالك ما عرفوا طريق السلف حتى جاء محمد بن عبد الوهاب فعرفه. من يقبل هذا؟ They claim that الشافعي, أبو حنيفة, أحمد and مالك did not know the path, the way of السلف until محمد بن عبد الوهاب came and he knew it. Who would accept that? إلا من أعمى الله قلبه. Except the one who has a blind heart. ولأجل ما ذكرنا قال المروزي خادم الإمام أحمد سمعت أحمد بن حنبل رحمه الله يقول إذا دخلتم المقابر فاقرأوا بفاتحة الكتاب والمعوذتين وقل هو الله أحد واجعلوا ثواب ذلك لأهل المقابر فإنه يصل إليهم. This is why the student, the servant of Imam Ahmad al-Marwazi said, Ahmad, his name is Ahmad al-Marwazi, Ahmad ibn Muhammad al-Marwazi. He said, I heard Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi saying, if you enter the graveyards, recite al-Fatiha, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقُ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ and قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ and ask Allah for the reward to reach the dead person, people who are in the graveyard, because it will reach them. That is, they will benefit from it. ولا يرد ولا يرد على ما قلنا قول الله تبارك وتعالى وأن ليس للإنسان إلا ما سعى. What we say does not contradict with the 39th verse of Surah An-Najm. وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Some people falsely misinterpret, some people they misinterpret this verse to mean that one does not benefit from any act except his own acts. And this is not the meaning of the verse. بَعْضُ النَّاسِ يُفَسِّرُونَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ يَقُولُونَ الْإِنسَانُ لَا يَنْتَفِعُ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا بِأَعْمَالِهِ هُوَ فَقَطْ وَلَيْسَ هَذَا مَعْنَى الْآيَةِ أَلَيْسَ وَقَعَ الْإِجْمَاعِ كما جاء في حديث الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام أن الإنسان يحج عن والده المتوفى مثلا أليس وقع الإجماع على أنه يتصدق عنه أليس وقع الإجماع على أنه ينتفع إذا وفى دينه عنه أليس وقع الإجماع على أليس قالوا له أن يصوم عنه أيضا فإذا ليس معنى الآية كما ظنوا إنما معنى الآية أن الإنسان لا يملك إلا ما سعى وأن ليس للإنسان إلا ما سعى هذا الذي يملكه الإنسان ولا ينفي هذا أنه ينتفع أيضا بسعي غيره إنما الذي يملكه هو سعيه هو وقد ينتفع بسعي غيره فلا ينافي هذا انتفاعه بسعي غيره. There is a consensus among the Muslims that if someone dies and it was incumbent upon him to make al-hajj and he did not do it, that his inheritors would do al-hajj on his behalf, isn't it? And if he left enough money for that, they take from the inheritance to do al-hajj on his behalf, isn't it the case? Also, and to make al-hajj on behalf of someone who died is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explicitly. So here is an example where the dead person benefits from the act of other than him. Also, in the religion, there is consensus among the Muslims that if you pay charity on behalf of the dead person, he will benefit from that. If the dead person died without fasting certain days that he was obligated to fast, his relatives can fast on his behalf. So all these matters mentioned in the religion make it clear that the verse does not mean that the dead person does not benefit from other than his acts. Because in all these cases, the dead person benefits from the acts of others. What this verse really means, that the dead person, that every person, owns only his acts. And this does not negate that he might benefit from the acts of others. What he owns is his own acts. That is, which means, if he does a good thing with a good intention, he will get what? Reward for it. If he does a sin, he will be sinful for it. This is what the person owns. But this does not negate that he might benefit from the acts of other people. So don't be confused if at any point you read this verse or you hear this verse, it does not mean that the dead person does not benefit from any act done by other than him. فَلَا يَطَّرِبْ أَحَدُكُمْ إِذَا سَمِعَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ أَوْ قَرَأَهَا لَا يَظُنَّ أَنَّ مَعْنَاهَا أَنَّ الْمَيِّتْ لَا يَنْتَفِعُ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ أَعْمَالِ غَيْرِهِ عَلَى الْإِطْلَاقِ ليس هذا معنى الآية. إنما معنى الآية لا يملك إلا عمله ولكنه قد ينتفع بعمل غيره. وسعي غيره. يعني حسناته ما عمل من حسنات يأخذ ثوابها، ما عمل من سيئات عليه وزرها. قال المؤلف. Is it clear up till here؟ واضح إلى هنا؟ سبحان الله. وإن كان يعني وإن كان دليل في الشرع وإن كانت الرؤيات لا تعد دليلا شرعيا لكن تذكر إذا وافقت الأدلة الشرعية. بعض الناس الصالحين في الماضي رأى بعض الأموات في منامه فقالوا له نحن ننتظر في قبورنا هدايا الأحياء، أي قراءة القرآن ثم إهداء الثواب لهم وما شابه ذلك. Although we do not rely religiously on the dreams, to يعني the dreams are not considered a religious proof, but when they comply with the rules of the religion, then it is a good thing to mention them. Some of the pious people saw in their dreams dead people saying that in their graves they wait for the gifts of the alive ones. And they meant by the gifts the recitation of Al-Quran, when someone recites Al-Quran and asks for the reward to reach them and the like. فلا ينبغي أن ينسى الإنسان أقاربه المسلمين وأحبابه المسلمين وأصدقائه المسلمين من مثل ذلك. So one shouldn't forget his beloved Muslim ones who died from these gifts. سبحان الله. مرة زرنا قبر واحد من الصالحين في مقبرة، كنا ثلاثة، رجل مسن كبير في السن وأنا وآخر. زرنا هذا الصالح ثم أردنا الخروج. هذا الرجل المسن بعد زيارة هذا الرجل الصالح ذهب إلى قبر واحد يعرفه، وكان وقت الظهر تقريبا والشمس شديدة. ذهب إلى هذا القبر فقرأ القرآن هناك، ثم صار يدور من قبر إلى قبر كل الذين يعرفهم مدفون وهم كثيرون وقد دفنوا في هذه المقبرة يذهب إلى قبر كل واحد يقرأ القرآن عند قبره واحدا واحدا. أنا كدت أمرض، أخونا الآخر مرض من الوقوف في الشمس، وهذا الرجل الله يبارك فيه ما يعني دار على كل من يعرف ثم خرج. هذا يدل على شيء طيب في القلب، ينبغي أن يكون المسلم هكذا. Once myself and another three people, we went to visit the grave of a wali, and after visiting this wali, we wanted to leave. Now, one among us was a very, really very old person. So instead of leaving, he went to the grave of someone who's buried there and recited Al-Quran next to his grave. Someone that he knew. When he finished, he went to the grave of another one. When he finished, this is his town, this hometown, so he knows many of them. When he finished, he went to the grave of his third one, fourth one. I don't know how many, a lot. Almost I got sick. My friend, he got sick from standing in the sun. It was the noontime, almost the noontime, and the sun, there was a lot, yani, it was hot, really hot. But this man kept going from one grave to another until he finished all the graves that he knew. Subhanallah. And it's a big cemetery. This tells you that about something good in his heart. This is how the Muslim should be. Don't forget the people that he loved, his relatives, the people who did good things to him after they die. He keeps recite Al-Quran, at least recite Al-Quran and give them the reward. Asks Allah for the reward to reach them. If not, next to their graves, from away. But not to neglect that. Naam Ali wanted to say something.
The case you mentioned about the difference between a Shafi and Abu Hanifa, I didn't understand what was the difference between a Shafi's position.
Some scholars said if you recite Al-Quran with the intention of the recitation to reach, yani the reward to reach the dead person, this is enough for it to reach them. Al-Shafi'i said, no, if you are away from the grave, this is not enough. So you make dua, O Allah, make the reward of this recitation reach so and so, then they benefit from it. And if you do that, by consensus, they benefit. And if it is next to the grave, by consensus, they benefit. This wouldn't be enough for... No. إذا قال الشخص اللهم أوصل ثواب ما قرأت إلى فلان، ما معناه؟ بعض العلماء قال معناه مثل ثواب، يصل إليه مثل ثواب ما قرأ، ولا يفوت الإنسان الثواب، ثواب ما قرأ. وبعض العلماء قال هذا مثل المتصدق، تصدق عليه بثواب قراءته، يعني الثواب يصل إلى ذاك والله يثيبه على هذا، يثيب هذا، يعطي هذا الذي قال اللهم أوصل ثوابا آخر. على فعله. When someone says, oh Allah, make the reward reach so and so, what does this mean? Some of the scholars said this means a reward similar to the reward of my recitation. So the one who recites does not lose this reward. He will get the reward, and a similar reward gets to the dead person. And some of them said that the same reward goes to the dead person. And because of this good act, Allah rewards the one who makes the dua with another reward. Just like when you give money in charity. You don't have the money anymore, but Allah gives you reward for doing that. And the same thing occurs when you say, oh Allah, give this reward to so and so. You don't have this reward, but Allah rewards you with another reward for doing it. There are two opinions among the scholars about this issue, what it means. Naam, tafaddal. No, this is prohibited. Yes. لا ما شرط يكون قريب. لو صديق أو نحو ذلك. No. This is the same question. The one can do al-hajj on behalf of a dead person without him being a relative to that person, or without him being among the inhabitants. Yes, oh Allah, make the reward of this recitation reach so and so and so and so and so and so and so. Yes, yes. He can say that. Ya Jews, Ya Sih. Naam Haja. Mutawaffa. Embala. Bihaj an wahid, ba'deen an al-akhar. Hakaza. بس نعم أليس بالمختصر مذكور إنه إذا مات الميت لا تقسم التركة حتى تخرج أجرة حجة وعمرة إن كان عليه. إذا كان معضوبا حاجة معضوب يعني ما بيقدر إلى تفاصيل نحكيها بالحج إن شاء الله لما بنحكي عن 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 الحج. إيه علي try to restrict your questions to the subject so we don't. بعرفني الله يهلكهم ما بعرف شو لا ما بعرف يا علي. Let me hear what the brother is saying, please.
Imam Ahmad's position of not needing to make dua, where is that narrated?
Yes. I'll get back to you, inshallah, with the answer. تفضل. He will benefit from that. Let's stick to this. تفضل أبو تيسير.
Publication.
Abu Tayyib is making publicity. But Hajj Umar can take care of issues like this. Inshallah, bi akhri al-dars, inshallah. قال المؤلف رحمه الله والله يستجيب الدعوات ويقضي الحاجات. The author said, Allah Ta'ala is the one who answers the supplications and fulfills the needs. يعني أن المسلم إذا دعا الله تبارك وتعالى مخلصا على وفق شرع الله تبارك وتعالى الله يستجيب دعاءه، إما أن يعطيه ما سأل أو يثيبه ولو لم يعطه ما سأل، لأن في الدعاء ثوابا يجعله الله تعالى للداعي. The one who makes the supplication according to the rules of the religion and with a good intention, the Muslim who does that, Allah answers his supplication. Either he will get reward for his dua. Anyway, الدُّعَاء عِبَادَة. Because making dua to Allah is worshipping Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he will get reward for that. And then Allah, either Allah gives him what he asked for or not, but in any case he will get the reward for that. So he doesn't get out empty-handed from this issue. وربنا عز وجل يستجيب الدعوات فضلا منه لا وجوبا عليه كما ذكرنا ويقضي الحاجات فضلا منه تعالى لا وجوبا عليه. Allah تبارك وتعالى gives the person what he asks for or fulfills the need of one out of his generosity without this being an obligation upon Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as we explained this before. قال ومن زعم أنه استغنى عن الله طرفة عين فقد كفر. The author said, نعم. قال المؤلف ويملك كل شيء ولا يملكه شيء. He owns everything and nothing owns him. وَلَا غِنَى عَنِ اللَّهِ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ. Nothing can be unneedful of Allah, even for an eye wink. وَمَنْ زَعَمَ أَنَّهُ اسْتَغْنَى عَنِ اللَّهِ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ وَصَارَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْحَيْنِ. Whoever claims to be unneedful of Allah for an eye wink, blasphemes and becomes among the people of perdition. وهذا كله سبق أن شرحنا. We already explained all of this. ومعنى الحين الهلاك. وصار من أهل الحين أي من الهالكين. وواضح عندكم أنه من زعم أنه يستغني عن الله ولو للحظة فهو كافر. It is clear for you that the one who claims that he does not need Allah even for a moment is a blasphemer. لأنه كذب قول الله تعالى أنتم الفقراء إلى الله. He belied the saying of Allah أنتم الفقراء إلى الله, which means you are the one in need of Allah تبارك وتعالى. نكتفي بهذا الآن, نقف هنا والله أعلم. نتستقبل الله knows best. إن كان لأحد سؤال فليتفضل. If you have questions, go ahead. Yeah, if someone gives food at a specific time to the poor people with the intention that the reward gets to the dead person, yeah, this is good. This is a good thing. Yeah, this is not prohibited. This is not prohibited. Go ahead. That is to make both in one Hajj? No. If one wants to make al Hajj on behalf of another person, he needs to, yani, he can do that only if he did it before that, for himself. Wafiq.
What is the issue about people who go to the graves and they slaughter animals at the grave site?
I never saw that. And I never knew about something like that takes place. I don't know about that.
I know the Wahhabiyya, they talk about this issue.
Oh, yeah. No, now I know what you are talking about. No, they make it appear as if it is a strange thing. It's not like that. They are talking about the people who make an oath that if this and this happen, I will slaughter a sheep, for example, and give its meat to the poor people who are next to the grave of this pious person. That's what they want to prevent. And what is bad about that? There is nothing bad about this. Now, if someone slaughters for the dead person, yes, this is shirk. But no Muslim does that. The Muslims, when they slaughter next in a place, in an area close to the grave of a pious person, they do that to distribute the meat to the poor people who are there. They don't slaughter for the dead person.
What would be the case if he slaughtered and wanted to send the reward of the slaughter to this person?
Well, that's what they mean. They distribute the meat on the poor people who are close to that area, and they offer the reward to this dead person. That's what they do usually. And there is nothing wrong about that. تفضل خالد. بس خالد بالأول. The intention is enough. تفضل أبا زاهد. أو حج سيد حج كريم بعد أبو زاهد. نعم. ما ورد هذا؟ ليس واردا. I mean, يعني if he slaughters a sheep to glorify a dead person, this is shirk. This is similar to the act of the people of Al-Jahiliyyah when they slaughtered to glorify the idols. But no Muslim does that. The Muslims, they don't do that. These Wahhabis, they don't think well about the Muslims. They don't think well about the Muslims. واحد من مشايخ شيخنا رحمة الله عليه كان في الحجاز ورأى إنسانا يدعو الله تحت شجرة هو قاعد تحت الشجرة يدعو الله تعالى جاء واحد وهابي قال له لماذا تعبد هذه الشجرة شو هذا One of the sheikhs of our sheikh رحمة الله عليه He went to Al-Hijaz. He saw a man who was sitting under a tree and was doing supplication to Allah. A Wahhabi came to him and told him, why do you worship this tree? Well, he was making dua to Allah. He was sitting under, they don't think well about the Muslims. Subhanallah. They don't think well about the Muslims. Allah yarhamuna. Tfadl Hajj Karim bas.
Ameen.
Yes.
Is this restricted to just his children, or can he do this for other Muslims?
There is a certain dua. Yeah, you can add whomever you want. Wafiq. The Wahhabis, they hate al-Tahawi. But in the beginning, when they first tried to spread their ideology, they couldn't say openly certain things at the time. So they started by putting what they called an explanation of al-Tahawiyyah. And they perverted the meanings of what al-Tahawi said. And sometimes even they said this statement is not correct, etc. of al-Tahawi. And they spread it because they know that the Muslims all over the world, they regard the creed of al-Tahawi highly. So they did that as a mean to spread their thoughts at the beginning. Now, khalas, they are not paying attention to this. No. Now, after they have few people here and there to rely on them in different areas, they are saying bluntly, really very, very ugly things. Very ugly things. One person told me, He said, I was in a session in, I forgot, either in Al-Madinah or Mecca. I forgot. But it's in either of these two places. And one among the heads of the Wahhabis, he died, his name is Ibn Uthaymeen, was in that session. So he started talking. And he was sitting on a high chair. And he's short. He's not a tall person. So while talking, he said about Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that he is on the throne. He said, on Al-Arsh. And he said something with his feet. And he started moving his feet. His feet didn't reach the ground where he was. So he started moving his feet. So he attributed feet to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and sitting, etc. Bluntly like that. And then he chose a young man among those who were in the session and told him, repeat what I said. The young man said, I'm not feeling well. He said, go ahead, repeat what I said. He said, my throat, I'm ill in my throat. So he was a mean man, the Ibn Usaymin. So he told someone, go get him some water, hot water, a little bit hot, warm water, so he can repeat. He wanted him to repeat what he said. So they got him the water. This young man, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protected him. He looked around and he said, I'm not saying it. And he went out. This man witnessed the incident. He told me. You see, now they are saying things that they didn't dare to say them in the past. So now they don't care about the creed of al-Tahawi. Khalas. They used it in the beginning to introduce their ideas. But now they have many other means to do that. They don't care. They are not hiding anymore their feelings. Didn't you ever hear them, for example, dispraising Al-Imam Abu Hanifa? Yeah. So in the past, they didn't do that. Now they do it openly. They don't care. Because they bought some people. Now they have people to repeat their statements here and there. Subhanallah. Naam, tfaddali. Go ahead. I can't hear you, sister. There is difference in opinions about this issue. The Shafi'is said it is disliked for the woman to go to the graveyard, except for visiting the grave of the Prophet ﷺ. The Hanafis, Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, said it is sunnah for her to do that. In the proper way. It is sunnah. And he relied in saying that on a hadith narrated from the Prophet ﷺ, Sayyid Aisha one day asked the Prophet ﷺ, what do I say when I visit or if I visit the graves? The Prophet taught her what to say. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa said, had them been disliked, the Prophet would have told her, don't do that. This is disliked. Don't go and visit the graves. But he did not say anything, rather he taught her what to say. So this is the hadith on which Al-Imam Abu Hanifa relied. Al-Shafi'i also relied on some things. He didn't just say what he said like out of the mere opinion. No. Shafi'i said that, well, we will not go into all of that. It's disliked according to the Shafi'i school, and it is sunnah according to what Al-Imam Abu Hanifa said. يعني هذا قول الإمام الشافعي إذا كان عليه الصيام إما أن يصوم عنه أو يخرج عنه عن كل يوم صدقة مخير الولي وليه ورثته مخيرون بين هذا وهذا ليس على وجه الإيجاب عليهم لكن إن شاءوا لهم هذا إما أن يصوموا عنه وقد يجتمع عشرة فيصومون عن الميت وقد يصوم عنه واحد وإما أن يتصدقوا عن كل يوم ترك صومه.
like if they wanted to break khutmas, for example, they made their intention.
It's not an obligation upon them. This is not an obligation. Naam, Fawzi. Like what? Sahih.
But after he died, his children, if they build a mosque and they say for this person,
also he will get the reward. Yes. Wafiq. If someone builds a mosque on the behalf of a dead person, the dead person will benefit from that. Yes, of course. Nah.
On the issue of praying you talked about, is that in totality whether or not the dead
person... Is that what?
In totality, whether or not the dead person missed prayers?
Yeah, even if the dead person missed prayers, you cannot pray on his behalf.
And if he didn't miss prayers, you still can't pray on anyone's behalf?
You cannot pray on his behalf. You're right. Which person?
The person that
yes, you can make dua for him, of course. Of course. The scholars said there are things that the person needs to observe for the dua, his dua to be answered. They said he needs to have the proper intention. Let him start a dua by saying Alhamdulillah, then As-Salah ala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa salam, and let him make a dua with a strong with certitude, strong belief, and to have the clothes that he wears halal, and the food which is in his stomach halal, and to face al-qibla. These are among the good manners to do when one does a dua. And these are means for a dua to be answered. To do it in this way. Barakallahu fikum. Nuhallil. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. بارك الله